Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com.
We exist in relation to each other. For a while, I felt very depressed. I was crying all the time, like, where is this coming from? And often it's not even ours. So out of love, you're carrying this for an ancestor and you don't even know about it. They don't want you to hold their pain. They don't want you to continue this cycle. They want you to live your life.
Healing requires us to step out of our mental stories and drop into the wisdom of the body.
The ultimate goal is to restore the flow of love and harmony in that family dynamic. Everyone has a place in the family. Everyone belongs in the system. There are lessons and there are resources through all of that. It really is freeing yourself up to take the next step in life and be that person that you were always meant to be. You can be thankful for them giving you life. You're here.
Imagine growing up in a family that arrived in America after leaving everything behind in Cuba, carrying both the hope of a new beginning and the weight of a painful past. Surrounded by love and community, Eileen Salmagyi never imagined that some of the emotions she struggled with might not have begun with her at all. It wasn't until an unexpected spiritual encounter and a life-changing introduction to family constellations that she discovered how grief, trauma, and even patterns of behavior can be passed on from one generation to the next. Today, Eileen is a family constellations facilitator, energy healer, and a featured author in our latest book, The Awakened Healer, 18 Pathways to Healing, Wholeness, and Conscious Living, available now on Amazon. In this conversation, you'll discover how generational healing works, why compassion can transform family relationships, and what it means to finally return what was never yours to carry. I'm your host, David Trotter. Welcome to the Awaken Magazine podcast. Eileen, it's great to be with you today. Thanks so much for taking time to join us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I want to hear about your childhood. I always like to hear about everybody's childhood, but I'm specifically interested in the beginning of our conversation, the aspect of your childhood that you grew up in an immigrant home, and that I assume played a significant role in how you were raised and the way that you saw life here on Earth. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I was born here. The stork dropped me off here, but the rest of my family was born in Cuba, emigrated, you know, generations back from Spain. But yes, it had a huge, huge impact on me.
How old were your parents when they came to the United States?
Let's see. They came in 66. So they were probably in their early 30s. Mm. My brother was 4 when he came. So yeah, there was a whole thing around that, trying to leave Cuba.
How did they make the journey?
Yeah. So I'm actually wearing my mom's ring. She was able to get past the guards or whoever, because they would take everything. You can only leave with a suitcase and basically the clothes on your back. And they would take jewelry. And the story is that my mom cried and cried because they were about to take away her engagement / wedding ring. But she kept it and I wear it proudly because I know how much they had to go through to come here.
Amazing. Amazing. So they arrive in 66. I won't ask when you were born. So that could be awkward, you know, but you were born. And talk to me about your childhood and how their experience of life influenced your experience of life.
So it was a lot of fun as a child. Something very important about, I think, any immigrant experience is community. And there was already community that had begun. The people that first came over from Cuba, luckily welcoming my parents with open arms because they had nothing.
Mm-hmm. So were they in Miami?
They came through Miami, the Freedom Tower, they called it. That was like the Ellis Island. But there was no work in Florida. So there were some people, well, they were actually my godparents, that said, come over here. There's work in California. So they came here. And if you've ever seen I Love Lucy and the whole candy scene, my parents worked at the Tootsie Roll Factory as
No way.
one of their jobs. Although I think they started making tents for the Vietnam War. So interesting array of jobs. But yes, so I was privy. I had the honor of having, there was a Cuban club here in Culver City, and there was one in Burbank, Glendale, wherever there's a Porto's, right? There's Cubans. But maintaining the Cuban culture was very important to my parents. And the music and the food, and just again, that sense of community. And I have been told, and I think a lot of immigrants, there's this way of staying happy. There's this underlying strength underneath the pain. And I think the music from Cuba shows that, the salsa and Celia Cruz, who was my mom's idol, that song, La Vida es un Carnaval, so life is a carnival. That was basically like a huge thing that my parents passed on to me. So, and I was forced to speak Spanish at home. It wasn't easy because my brain thought more in English. But I didn't even remember until someone told me years ago, because I went to preschool with her son, and she said, "Don't you remember they tried to separate you? They tried to stop you from speaking Spanish to each other." I'm like, I didn't even remember that. So this whole thing around language, and of course, being bilingual now is very, very welcome. But it was a traumatic point for my brother, especially coming here and at 4 and not knowing the language and feeling misunderstood. Yeah, so there's no coincidence of how I was drawn to family constellation work and generational, I don't like to call it trauma, but generational stuff.
Generational experiences.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Talk to me about faith and spirituality as you were a kid. Was that part of your cultural experience, or did that come later for you in life?
Yes, so my dad was Catholic, my mom was Presbyterian, but both my brother and I went to Catholic school, 12 years, 12 years, uniform, the whole bit, priests, nuns, confession, a little guilt, maybe a lot of guilt, a lot of stuff. It's funny because I remember the nuns saying, you know, God sees and hears everything. And I think I had said the S word, you know, on the yard that day. And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to hell because I said the S word. So there's a little bit of that. But even though I'm not really Catholic practicing anymore, it did instill this beautiful childlike love of God or of a higher power. That innocence that I tap into that a lot. So that core has never left me.
As you continue to grow up and move into adulthood, at what point did you start to have some experiences that would raise your level of consciousness, mindfulness, spirituality, however you would describe it, to kind of reconnect with some of those core elements of God, love, spirit?
So I taught for 32 years in elementary school. And there was one year I had a child, I almost said son, that's how close they were to me. I had a child whose father came to me, him and his husband, actually during parent conferences. And he, during parent conferences, he said, "You're gonna have a girl." I'm like, "Wait, what? What do you mean?" he was very tapped in and very intuitive. And long story short, he became my angel on earth, spiritual compass.
Wow.
He would talk to me about things that I was like, Whoa. His galactic family and his near-death experience, and so many things where I was like, I'm just gonna listen to all this, but a lot of it's going over my head.
How many years ago was this?
So I'd say this was 2011 when I first met him, and we did a book club around Carolyn Mace, niece, Entering the Castle, which changed my life. And he said, "Hey, can I offer to do a long distance healing for you? My friends and I, we do this thing, and you don't have to do anything. You just lay there, and we'll just all coordinate at, a certain time." And I would say that was probably the first time where I felt this magic. I don't know how else to say it, this connection. I started seeing a lot of visuals and movies in my mind. And I'm like,
So
how?
you were laying down at home,
Yeah, I was just in my bed.
and he and all his friends are doing their thing. You're on what? Are you on is it just like phone and then you get off the phone, or are you on the phone with them still?
Yes, I got off the phone. He said, "Okay, I'll see you there." I'm like, "Okay." And just the most magical experiences. Yeah, I'm like, "Wait, is that me that I'm seeing? I'm just watching this whole movie play out." And that was the beginning of, well, then he invited me to do healings, for other people. And I would connect with these strangers and just see things and feel things, even though they were in other states or wherever they were. And then we would compare notes later. And although we saw different things, sometimes, well, often, if not all the time, there was some kind of overlap, which was crazy. So I think that was the beginning of the opening or awareness of this gift I had to see these movies and to connect with people, again, complete strangers, but connecting with them.
Did you start to share those stories and experiences with your family around you?
I did, and I kept referring myself to the crazy, the crazy little sister, the crazy cousin, or and I had to stop saying, or I wanted to stop saying the word crazy. But it was almost like a weird protection, like, let me call myself crazy before you do. And they started, at first they're like, "Okay, that's weird. How do you see movies? Like, were you taking something at the time? Like, how do you just see movies?" But then they started opening up and seeing, like, oh, especially if I connected with people that had passed on, and I would say, "Just gonna let you know, I got this message," and I would tell the people that had passed on, like, "Okay, that's all nice and good if I say you miss them or they need to keep living, that it's fine, but I need something like
Follow
gift."
your dreams.
Yes, I'm like, they're not, like, that's not gonna fly. So I remember asking my cousin, I said, "All right, give me something. Give me something." And I heard the word or saw cheesecake. I'm like, "Cheesecake?" And that's something I've learned too, is I used to question all the time, like, why is Snow White coming into my mind right now, or cheesecake? But then I stopped questioning and just allowed it. So I'm like, "All right, cheesecake, here we go." So I messaged her husband and I said, "I got this random word." And he said, "Cheesecake was my wife's favorite thing to make." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So it would help to get those kinds of validation.
Amazing. And talk to me about now your introduction to family constellations. What is family constellations and how was it introduced to you?
So, when I turned 50, my college friend said, "Hey, do you want to go on a spiritual retreat?" And I'm like, "I do. Wait, you want to go on a spiritual retreat?" Because, we used to party. Like, you want to? Okay, I'm down. So one of the practices they did during that weekend was a family constellation exercise. And the way it was introduced to us, they introduced it very briefly, because it is hard to explain. It's something you really have to experience. But it's basically your inner world or your inner map is displayed out of your body using people as representatives, or objects. And at the heart of it is Bert Hellinger is the founder or founded it in the 90s. He's a German, was a German psychotherapist, but he said it's the science of all relations that exist, meaning we exist in relation to each other. We don't exist, right, in this vacuum. Something that we did in that exercise, they became my teachers, actually, of all things. My teacher said, okay, you're going to pair up, and one person's going to represent your higher self, and the other person is going to be the representative of that person. I think I said that right. So, a man and I got paired up. And the way we would do it is, so he turned around, let's say, and I put my hands, sorry, other way around. He put his hands on my shoulders with the intention of, I want to receive a message from my higher self. So
And
then,
he would represent your higher self.
yes, in this moment, it was me, though. I was representing. I mean,
Oh, okay.
we did it for each other.
But the higher self is in the front or the back?
Yes, the higher self is the other person. So
Okay.
it's almost like a mirror. So you're seeing a mirror of the higher version of you.
Gotcha. So you're facing each other. I just want to get this clear.
Thank you. So we were told there's nothing you have to force or do or act. Just listen to your body. And just do whatever your body tells you to do. And we were supposed to only use movements, and then we were supposed to whisper something at the end, if it came to us. So he put his hands on my shoulders. I turned around, so I was facing him. And then I remember just wanting to, I felt like a tree, like a growing tree. So I did this, and I just felt so expansive. And at the same time, like, I don't know what I'm doing, but this is what's coming to me. And then I got the word Pinocchio. I'm like, what the? Okay. So I whisper in his ear, I'm like, Pinocchio. And he looked at me and he smiled. And he just looked at my face and he held my face. And he's like, thank you. And he said, that was my favorite childhood story. Growing up. And I don't know, because so with constellations, we don't interpret. We don't talk about it. We let it land with the client, with the other person, because it's really about them and them making meaning. So whatever I did, it might not have made, right? It didn't make sense to me. I'm like, Pinocchio, but it made sense to him. And I don't remember even what he did for me. I was just so blown away with what I did and connecting with this stranger that I touched on something, and that's something too. So going back, defining family constellations, we bring our family dynamics out into the world. So how we relate, or related, to our parents, to our siblings, though that's how we relate with friends, with coworkers. Like I didn't realize I was bringing a mother-daughter relationship to a coworker until I started asking, like, why am I being so triggered? Why am I getting upset over this or that? Oh, okay. So it's at the heart of it. It is based on family and ancestors, and often when we're stuck or we have this, like for a while I felt very depressed. I was crying all the time, like, where is this coming from? And often it's not even ours. And with talk therapy, let's say, or other therapies, you might talk about the reason why you're depressed. But you might not ever think like, oh, maybe my depression is connected to an unfelt grief that my grandmother had or my great grandmother had, having to leave their country, or so I'm feeling their grief, I'm carrying it. And we call that an entanglement. So out of love, you're carrying this for an ancestor and you don't even know about it. But constellations allow you to let go of that. So you're honoring that that gift. You're honoring their pain. You're honoring what they went through, and it does really give you an incredible amount of compassion for your family, your ancestors, and a deeper understanding of what they went through. But at the same time, they don't want you to hold their pain. They don't want you to continue this cycle. They want you to live your life. And often, so with family constellation, there's healing sentences that the facilitator intuitively gets, but also, through training, you kind of see what's happening. And you offer them to the client to see if it lands. It doesn't always land. So it's a little bit of like, let's try this out. And often we say, like, to the ancestor, please bless me as I move forward in my life. And there's just such a like, so.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. So you go into detail about family constellations in your chapter in The Awakened Healer. The name of your chapter is The Ancestral Alarm, Returning What Was Never Yours to Carry, which you just spoke about. You write, family constellations are ultimately about the heart rather than the mind. Healing requires us to step out of our mental stories and drop into the wisdom of the body. Help us understand that more. You talked about even when you were having that exercise, that allowing the body to speak, like so much of talk therapy is what I'm thinking and processing verbally. What is the wisdom of the body? How does that come up through family constellations?
So, first of all, because you're displaying, let's say, that map outside of you, already there's a sense of like, where you can get out of your head and not analyze.
When you say it's outside of you, because family constellations is a bit new to me, I've been learning about it as I've been preparing for our conversation. But when you say it's displayed outside of you, help the viewer or listener understand, what do you mean physically? Like, what's happening?
Yes. Okay. So for example, and in the chapter I have them the reader go through an exercise. So let's say your intention is, actually it was mine. I've had a hard time with anger and people being angry around me and many, many layers of anger. So I use papers and I would write me on a paper, block on another paper, and anger on another paper. Or maybe like actually what I want, maybe I don't want. So my intention would be maybe comfort with anger or being okay with anger. So when you step onto these things, for example, when you step onto the me, it's an acknowledgement of what you feel right now. This is your inner dynamic happening right now in relation to anger, and you might not feel good.
Let me ask you this. If you were working with a client, and let's just in this case say you're the client, okay? So you're working with yourself essentially, just as an example. So we got three sheets of paper. One says me, one says block, and the other one says, I think you said freedom or comfort.
Yeah, wait, let's do, yeah, freedom because that's the one that I did in the chapter. Yes,
Okay,
yeah.
cool. So it says freedom. So these pieces of paper, would we put them on the ground? so we'd stand on them, kind of? Is that what you're thinking? Or just post-it notes in front of us?
You could actually do, they call it tabletop. So you could put it on the table, but I like to stand on them.
Okay, great. So we've got me, Block, and Freedom on the ground.
Yes.
And now the client is stepping on me. And what would you say to that client, or what would they need to do once they step onto the me?
Yes. And actually, before even stepping on me, because sometimes people think, well, where do I place them? You don't, even without looking at them, just place them how, again, your body, it's not in your head.
Okay.
Just how they land.
Okay.
So you might take a moment just to see their placement. Like Freedom might be really far away. Block might be really close to you.
Mm-hmm.
I literally like just did this exercise actually before. And it was interesting because when I stood on me, I'm also aware of what's around me in my room. That speaks to me as well. That takes on meaning. And I was facing my TV, which was very dark. And I'm like, ooh, like, I don't want to be seen. And this feels very uncomfortable. And then I stepped off and then I went to Block. And then in Block, you might, well, I'll tell you what happened. You might get a memory. So what happened to me, I actually did it around speaking in front of people. What happened to me was I got a memory of being in kindergarten and having tape put on my mouth. And I kind of got these words like, but that's in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your past. It's not in another lifetime. This doesn't belong to anybody else. This is yours, but it is in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. So then I step onto Freedom, and just stepping onto Freedom, I could tell my body, I was already standing up taller.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this feels good. Okay. And you can't really explain it, but you get these feelings. So I'm like, okay, that feels good. So that's kind of round one.
And so the first time when you step on me, are you fully like, are you acknowledging whatever the challenge is that you're facing in that moment?
So yes, it's you're very much in the now. There's no pretending. Just this is the honest truth. This is how you're feeling right now, which is
I can imagine. A lot of people, when you step on that me, people that you work with, do they move toward like externalizing that and blaming others? Like, well, this person, or I can't believe, or the reason why I'm in this situation is because X, Y, Z. Is that happen? Or do you try to draw them back to their own experience?
That's a really good question. What I've seen that ends up happening, I wouldn't say blame, but what sometimes happens is that block might morph into a person. It could be an event like the one I described, or it could be a person. It could be your mom. It could be anybody in your family. And you start seeing perhaps the reason why you feel block in that acknowledgement phase. Yes, I've seen people say like, I'm angry at you. And I've actually done it myself with my mom, who passed away in 1999. But I was never able to voice some of my anger, you know, that teenage anger, that rebellious. I never had a chance to do that. So yes, there is that permission to say, I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
And you did this or that. I've actually been the recipient of that as a representative for someone else's constellation. And I have felt the guilt of whoever I was representing, because it's usually done blind. And that other person might say, I'm sorry, or that other person, because there's also accountability in constellations, you know. Everyone has to be accountable for their actions. We might understand why they did things, but there is accountability. So what you might hear from the other person when you step into that other person's shoes is, yes, I did that, and that is not yours. That is all mine. And I, you know, you can leave that with me. And if you step back into that me and you hear that, it's like, okay, there's kind of like that finally, like, I'm not making up these feelings. I was heard, I was seen. And maybe too, you get just a little hint of what that person went through that made them that way or made them act that way. Again, not excusing, but you have some compassion. So that's another huge thing about family constellations is the ultimate goal is to restore the flow of love and harmony in that family dynamic, and leaving space for that person. And that's actually one of the orders of love is, and that's huge, is belonging. Because everyone has a place in the family, whether they be the perpetrator or the victim, but everyone has a place. And what happens is if someone's excluded, what tends to happen is someone in future generations will take on similar patterns of behavior, even a similar life, for that person to be remembered. So there's this constant, like, remember me, I want to be seen in the family system. And once you give them a place, again, not excusing any action that they did, but there's just a little space in your heart for just to give them their place, that yes, they are part of this family. And knowing that even with all the stuff, right, the hard things that we go through, there are lessons and there are resources through all of that.
You just mentioned that there are orders of love. That's part of the framework of family constellations. I know there are three orders of love. Would you mind walking us through each one of those and how do those kind of fit in the whole framework?
Yes. So belonging's huge. Just think in terms of survival, it's very caveman. Like if you don't belong, if you're not part of the tribe, you're going to get eaten. So yes, fitting in, especially, you know, going back to my immigrant, or, well, again, me born here, but my family's experience, and of so many of us, of not feeling like we fit in. We don't belong to this country. We don't belong to that country. Even fitting into a friends group, you know, the FOMO, right? Like, I didn't get invited to what happened, which really goes down to like being loved or feeling loved. So everyone belongs no matter what in a family system. And then there's the second order is hierarchy, meaning everyone has a place. So not that one is more important than the other, but establishing or feeling in your place is very important because it can throw off the system. So for me, for example, like you would, I put my dad first. So whoever was born first, right, is like the first that comes in the hierarchy. So my dad, my mom, and then my brother, my oldest brother. I actually did this with papers. That was a whole exercise. And then I put me, and I'm like, wait a second. There was a baby that was before me, but born before me. So I'm one of three children. I'm not one of two. And that in itself had a lot of implications that I didn't realize, like survivor's guilt. And also to what happens as children, often we go out of our place when we try to parent our parents, mm-hmm. or parent an older sibling. So yes, it throws us off. But that is order. and or hierarchy. And then the third one is balance, which is give and take. So in adult relationships, there should be a pretty even give and take, because when it's off, you know, the other person might get resentful, like, wait a second, I've given all this and you've only taken. So it's different with parents and children, because parents tend to give more, or at least give what they can, and the children receive. Now that might flip, right, as they get older. But giving and taking, and that balance. But they all kind of overlap or stem from belonging.
Mm-hmm. And so how do these three orders, these are like foundational understandings as you're going through these processes, is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the ultimate goal, as I heard you mention, because I was just literally getting ready to ask you this, is the restoring the flow of love in the relational dynamic, even, and I would assume it's restoring love even if your parents are not alive anymore. Like there's a flow there within those who are alive, correct?
Yes. And I will tell you right now, I stopped wearing my mom's ring for a while, because in one of these constellations, I heard her say, stop carrying my pain. Mm. So I put it away for a while, and I didn't realize there was some healing that I had to do with her. And after doing some of that, I now wear it again. But yes, there's definitely healing that can be done while they're still here, and even mm-hmm. while they're on another plane, you're still connected for sure.
So what's fascinating about what I'm hearing you talk about in family constellations is this is not just psychology, but there is a sense of an spiritual interconnectedness. Connectedness at the consciousness level. It's not just passing down DNA, but it's a passing down of something from generation to generation. And also, I mean, I could be getting this wrong, but what I'm picking up on is that we're all connected forever. Is that right? Is that part of the understanding?
That is my understanding. I'm just thinking quantum physics, right? Like energy can't be made or destroyed. Definitely. And what's interesting, again, one of the things I absolutely love about this work is when you do represent for somebody else, even if you're just sitting and watching, because it's also happened to me, there is some kind of overlap always. There's some kind of family dynamic that is triggered or activated within you when a session is being done for someone else. Hmm. And you might not understand it. Actually, it's funny. One of my teachers, or one of the facilitators, she said she had one done for herself. And when it was done, she's like, that's really nice and good. And I hope it helped people that watched it, because I got nothing out of it. And then she said, like, within the next few weeks, things started happening. And she started seeing synchronicities and getting insights. And that is something that happens. And like I had a constellation done, I went to Australia to finish my training, and it was a big one. And I felt like it was just finally completed. Like, and this was 2 years ago. So some of these constellations are immediate, the insights and the impact. And then some of them just slowly, it's like you keep getting the piece of a puzzle and one layer gets revealed and you're like, oh, like with my anger, I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't really get to express it. Okay. That's and then, oh wait, I'm uncomfortable around other people that are angry. Okay. What's that about? So it just really, I think that's why I called it freedom in the exercise for the reader, because it really is freeing yourself up to take the next step in life and be that person that you were always meant to be, and that your ancestors are like, woo, you know, like rooting on the sidelines, like, yay, you know, because if anything, and I know we all have different relationships to our parents and family, if anything, you can be thankful for them giving you life. You're here.
Hmm. You talk about going into round two and then round three. So we talked about round one. So the me is, this is my interpretation. I'm just trying to make sure I'm on the same page. Me, my experience right now, what I'm happening, the block, and then the kind of the desire that I want, that's the third piece of paper, which in this case, it was freedom. And the block is whatever's preventing me from experiencing that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So we've gone through round one. What does round two look like?
So round two, they call it like the unentangling. Mm-hmm. So this is where you feel some kind of shift. So even in you just moving from paper to paper, there's already a shift happening within. And when you move a paper, it's like, whoa, like my initial map just changed. And you don't realize all this is going on in you, but you start getting some insights. It's so hard to really like say this is exactly what's going to happen, mm-hmm. but it is an opportunity to, okay, you just did a whole round of like, this is how things are now. Okay. You just stepped off of freedom. You got to feel what it's like. Mm. Now go back to me. Do you feel any different? And actually, when I did this in the second round, I'm like, I don't like standing in front of the dark TV. I want to stand in front of the mirror. And I did. Like, I moved myself and I'm like, ooh, that feels good already. And then when I moved to the block, it was, again, like, okay, this is in your past. Do you want me to still be in this spot where you have me? Or do you want to move me farther away from you? And I'm like, yeah. Like, move it farther away. And then when I got to freedom again, it felt even better. Mm. And again, very, very expansive. And then I just got the words like, you can do this. It's like you become your own coach. Like the wisdom, it starts coming out of you because you're in this quiet space of your heart. Like when you had asked, you know, about family constellations being about the heart rather than the mind. You're not in that, the world of noise of like, your teachers said you were supposed to do this and your parents said this, and it's just you and, you know, your connection to this, they call it the knowing field. So that soul, that essence of you is speaking and you can hear it like, yeah, you can do this. You can do this. So that second round is like, oh, there's some shifting going on.
Mm-hmm. Now, your role as a facilitator of this process, are you called a facilitator? What is your role called?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you obviously provide these sessions for individuals online, maybe in person or just online primarily?
Right now, online.
Okay, online. So when you are providing this experience online, what is your role in the process? What are you saying? What are you asking? If you're not interpreting what comes up, what is your role?
So definitely guide on the side kind of thing. So I will ask the person, I'll do like a little interview and ask them what they want to explore, what their issue is. And I just listen to them and I start forming some theories or hypotheses. In my mind. And with some people, there's something called a genogram that you could do where it's like a family tree. You start noting on both sides of the family if there's any patterns, health-wise, relationship-wise. You might see that someone was excluded. So as a facilitator, you're trying to see, is there something missing? Is there something that's not being seen? Something that needs to be acknowledged? So that's going really deep. But I just did one recently where this person said, I had a dream. It was an interesting dream. I'm like, okay, let's just, you know, and I just heard her speak for a few minutes because sometimes I don't want to get too wrapped up into the story and just let the field speak. So I just, when I did the session with this person, I just called it me and the dream. And from there, things evolved. So I just look at the field and the movement, and sometimes what happens is it gets stuck. So there's no, like I say, how do you feel? Nothing. Do you want to move? No. And then they go to the next one. How do you feel? Do you want to move? No. So then I'm like, okay, there's something missing. Let's bring in another element. And I don't call it anything. I just bring it in, and then I ask the client, okay, so how do you feel now this other element's in? Oh, you know, and they feel different because whatever was not seen is now being seen. So that might evolve into, again, a person. It might evolve into an event. It could be a country. So many things. So really, I'm talking very little and just really staying connected to my client, to the other person, and providing that just safe space and being completely neutral. That's something too that was told to us as facilitators. That's why it's important for us to do our work, because we need to be in, well, the best we can, right? Because we're still humans and evolving, but in the best way we can with our own family dynamics, because then when we hear other people's dynamics, it's like, oh, okay, I can relate. Or, and I'm not judging that, because I've gone through, you know, something similar. So I'm very, very open. And again, there's no right or wrong. There just is. And like I said, everyone belongs in the system, whether it be victim or perpetrator. It just is. And to know that families, generations, like, things happened out of survival. And ultimately, I know it's hard to understand, but ultimately things come out of love, for the most part. So yeah, in the end, your ancestors just want the best for you. And
mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah. How long are these sessions? How many sessions is it kind of a multi-session thing, or is it one session? How does that work?
So a session can be really quick. It could be 20 minutes, but it can go very deep. Or if someone is interested in doing a genogram, or they're looking at their family tree, like, that might be an hour, but that alone, it's like, whoa, I didn't realize, like, this is happening on both sides of my family. And I'm doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it could be half an hour. It could be an hour. It could be an hour and a half. It really depends. And I don't like to rush things. Mm-hmm. I'd like to just be in it, be in the fields. But a lot of these sessions, like, even for myself, I had one done in November, and then I had one done again a few weeks ago. So they keep unfolding. Mm-hmm. So they go very, very deep, but in such a gentle way. And honestly, I have to say, because you had mentioned earlier about, like, do people, like, get in this, like, blame thing? And, you know, there are some tough emotions that mm-hmm. come up. But it is something that it's felt and allowed, and it's, like, passes. And it, when I was first doing this, I was like, oh, gosh, you know, can I hold this? Like, but I can't. And just because I've seen it, I've seen people like, wait, let me just allow it. And I think that's another thing. I don't know if our culture or what, but we're so quick to, like, let's make them feel better. Let's fix it. Let's smooth it over. But it's, yeah, if it's just allowed to pass and acknowledge, then there's room for that movement and that shift. Mm-hmm. And really, people, it's like a couple minutes where they're kind of in it, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay. And then it passes. So.
Powerful, powerful work. You also do energy medicine sessions now. You went from having this session many years ago and it transforming your life to now you offering those sessions yourself. Is that right?
Yes. So during COVID, like so many of us, I think, many breakdowns, breakthroughs, I discovered shamanic practices, shamanic drumming and journeying. And I took a course just recently on soul retrieval. Well, it wasn't just soul retrieval, but I fell in love with with doing soul retrievals because it reminds me a lot of family constellations. It's a little different where I will journey for the person. And I will go, I will visit with permission certain chambers. So one of the chambers is the chamber of the original wound, where sometimes I'm allowed to see it and sometimes I'm not. And it's not like that's where we're going to live. It just might be helpful and maybe not. Then there's a chamber of the part of you that wants to come back. So with the soul retrieval, and I think for so many of us, there's a little part of us that was lost due to protection, right? That little part of us had to go and hide somewhere. So I get to go to the chamber where this little part of you or some part of you wants to come back. And then I go to the Chamber of Gifts where you will, or I will see a gift that could be something like a ring, a rock, a feather, something. And then I ask if a power animal wants to come back. So I, after I journey, I come back and I present these things to the person. Oh, very important. I get what the original contract was that this person did out of, for whatever reason, survival, basically. But the goal is to rewrite that contract. And we do that at the end. Like constellations where you get things to represent the different elements, I ask the person, it's like you get to go on a scavenger hunt and you go and find things to represent whatever I brought back. If it's your sassy 7-year-old, do something to represent your sassy seven. If it's a ring, something to represent your ring. If it's a lion, power animal, something to represent that. And then there's like this series of questions and answers where you step into that element just like you do a family constellation, and you're kind of in this like little trance, like definitely heart space, not in your head space. And all this wisdom just comes out of you. It's amazing. It's amazing the insights that people say. And sometimes even they say it and they're like, whoa, you know, like, where did that come from? It came from you. So
amazing.
I love it.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely amazing. All right. So where can people reach out to you to book a session and also follow you online?
So I'm on Instagram and Tapping Into Your Gifts, and I also have a website, tappingintoyourgifts.com.
Great. And of course, we really want to encourage people also to pick up the book so they can go into this process, and read about the process that we just talked about. Your chapter in The Awakened Healer, once again, is called The Ancestral Alarm, Returning What Was Never Yours to Carry. And that'll give people a taste of what you're doing, but check you out at tappingintoyourgifts.com. So Eileen, thank you so much for sharing your story, your wisdom. I'm so honored to hear your story. Yeah, it's very powerful. And you have food growing behind you. It looks like we have figs.
That's my farmer, lawyer by day, farmer on the weekends. Yes. Figs and tomatoes, and yeah, we're so blessed.
That's great. Wonderful. All right. Well, it's great to be with you.
Thank you so much.
Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com.